Thank you. power of your name. God, we know that there is power in the blood of the Lamb. God, and we are grateful for the gift that you have bestowed upon us. We have gathered, God, in your name. We have gathered in your presence, and we pray that you would just permeate this place. And everything that is said and done, God, we give you the honor, the glory, and the praise. What a day you've given to us. What a place we can gather. We just thank you for all those blessings. In your holy name I pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated for just a moment. Well, what's going on in the life of the church?
Linda, could you turn your microphone on?
Okay.
Okay.
What else do you need?
That's it.
Good?
Yep.
All right. Today, one of our friends at Hope Crossing, Brent Beck, and his wife Heather. Brent is going through his ordination service today. He's been with Hope Crossing a little more than a year.
Yeah.
He came in last May, I think it was. He was adopted before that to come on in service, but he was finishing his master's. Brent went on through his completion, and today is his ordination service. Pray for this one, Heather. I say that in all earnestness because we've been in it a while. We're coming up to 39 years in December. You need to pray for his wife. Sometimes it's a difficult journey, but pray for Brent and pray for his lovely wife. But that's today if you want to join us at 4 o'clock. What else? Poinsettias. Last day of order poinsettias is today. Wow. Boy, you know what that means.
Yeah,
next week we're doing hanging of the greens, but poinsettia orders. We've got a little bit of time, but try not to delay it. If you want to order poinsettias, now is the time to do it. Wednesday night, Bible study, we've got dinner all planned, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What do we have?
Soups and salads.
Soups and salads?
All right. Banana pudding.
We're going to have chili, we're going to have soups, we're going to have potato soup, all kinds of stuff, salads. And then at 6 o'clock, we're going to study chapter what?
Seven.
We're rushing fast. We were in chapter 6, verse 8, this last week, remember? What does the Lord require of you?
Seek justice, love, mercy, and walk humbly with your God.
That's correct. All right, well, I'm going to keep reminding you folks. All right, hanging in the greens next Sunday. Yeah, next Sunday. Because the following Sunday after that is the first Sunday of Advent. Yeah. You guys say I try to push it a little too ahead. What I'm trying to do is prepare you because it comes a lot faster than what we want. But that's there. The giving tree is in the back. We're working to serve Enrich Christian Homeschool. People have already started bringing stuff in, but that is our giving tree gift back there. I did receive a note this week, so I'm not sure. I sent a reply back to them. A young lady contacted me. She is having some dire straits and wanted to know if we could support her family, for children for Christmas. And I said, well, send me the information and I'll look to see what we have available and if we can do it. I told her there's no guarantees, but we will try, but I need the information. So no response yet, but if I do, I'll let you know that. But we're working on the giving tree for enriched families. What else? All right. NothingChurchOfGod.org. Everything is there for your viewing pleasure. In our prayer time, we want to keep Suzanne in our prayers. We want to keep Jack and Judy in our prayers. I normally pray for Charlotte, but she's with us this morning, so we can do that. We can still pray for her. I had a funeral yesterday for the Harris family. Many of you know Kathy. Kathy Harris used to attend here a long time ago. It was her stepmom, Pat, and so just keep the Harris family in your prayers. It's a difficult day for them, but we want to keep that in prayer. A multitude of needs are in your bulletin for prayer and so on. So, and I also got one from Charlotte for Shay, who really wants a baby. So we want to pray that God is just going to open up the doors and open up our life for that. And we want to keep Heather in prayer, Heather and Brent as well. They're embarking on a journey. They've been together, married 10, almost 11 years. Heather has not been able to get pregnant, and they're embarking on a journey of in vitro next year. Mm-hmm. So keep them in prayer. They want a baby really bad, and we're just praying that God will open up the doors for that. Let's see. What else do we got? Anything I'm missing, Beth? You sure? Okay. Now, this first one I know you're going to sing with us is Blessed Assurance. Now, how many of you have heard the song Stepping in the Light? We're going to sing that second. If you haven't sung it before, we're going to sing it this time. And then we're going to go into our prayer song, 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus, number 647. So I will do my best. I know you know Blessed Assurance. Stepping in the Light, if you don't know it, it's in your handles and you can follow along there. But we're going to begin a melody of songs. And Sheila says I didn't get it quite the same as I did last week, but she's got it all together for us. So whatever that key she plays, we're going to sing. And sing well. So stand there, sing wherever you're comfortable.
Mercy whispers of love.
sweet to trust in Jesus. Time of our needs and those that are hurting, those that need you, God. We continue to pray for this dear one, Jenny, who is looking to have a child. God, I just pray. You've done it throughout the scriptures. You did it for Sarah. You did it for a multitude, even Ruth and Naomi, and the scriptures talk about it, God. Even for Mary, you opened up. Father, I pray that you will do the same for Jenny. And I pray for Heather as well, God. May you bless Brent and Heather and Shay. Father, with the birth of a wonderful child, what a blessing that is. And we pray that, God, in your holy name. We continue to thank you, God, for the anointing. We pray for Jackie and Judy and continue healing on their life. We pray for Suzanne, God, that you will continue to bless her and strengthen her. Father, that you'll continue to guide her through all things that she might face. Father, that your anointing would be for her and Louie. Father, there are many that are away this morning. God, we are just thanking you. Father, I'm thanking you that Rita's with us this morning and her knee is comfortable enough that she can be with us. God, continue to anoint that healing. I know they're anxious to get back to Florida and see that new little grandbaby. God, in the process, bring healing and restoration. Father, I pray for those people at General Motors, ones that lost their job this week. What a blow that must have been to just receive an email to say, don't show up for work today. Father, even in this time of year, it's difficult. Any time of year, it's difficult to receive that notification. But I pray that you'll lead them, guard them, and guide them, and bless them. Father, I pray for our sister churches, for Brent, as he prepares for ordination, an exciting time in his life. Father, guard him, guard his heart, bless his wife. Watch over them, Father, in this journey. Because even though there's a multitude of blessings, Father, the enemy comes in wonderful sheep's clothing, wanting to kill and destroy what you put in their place. Give them strength, Father. Unite them together with cords that cannot be broken. Bless them, Father. Bless Pastor Mark this morning as he leads at Everfoot. Pastor Tom at Chippewa Valley. And Brent as he delivers the message. And Jerry Groves, who is coming to share in the ordination time. Bless them, God. Bless our country as we need to return back to you, God, and the roots that you have given to us. Father, I pray for all over this great nation, for our friends in Tennessee, for our friends in Kenya, God. What an opportunity. Bless Pastor Salim as he leads his people. Father, pour out your spirit on us today. Well, thank you, God, for your richness and your blessings. Thank you, God, for your anointing and your touch on our life. You know, God, exactly what we need this week. You know, God, that if we give it to you, we must leave it at the feet of Jesus. So we pray for your anointing today. Wisdom, God, that says, here it is, Lord. We're going to let you do it in your time. Bless, Father, the words that we celebrate from the scriptures. May your hand of anointing be upon them. We'll thank you. Father, I've also forgotten to pray for Kathy this morning. Pray for her and Steve. God, that your anointing would rest with Kathy. And you'll continue to strengthen her and heal her. Father, give her wisdom that she does the right things each and every day. Takes her medication, goes through physical therapy. There's a lot there. But God, we want to see her well. So bless you, Steve. Thank you today for what you're doing. In your holy name, I pray. be looking in the scriptures to Hebrews chapter 10. So if you want to turn there, you can. We'll be looking at a set of series. And hi, as I was sitting there, I realized I didn't remember to pray for Jonathan. So let's pause for a minute. Jonathan is at home not feeling well. So let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God this morning. Thank you for the richness of the text. God, in my absence, Father, I pray for Jonathan, who's not feeling well today, God, that you will anoint him, give strength to his body, and heal him as necessary. Let him rest, recuperate, and God, may your hand be upon him. Be upon the word today as we celebrate it. Be in my mind and my thinking, in my mouth and my speaking, and in my heart as we celebrate this word today. As we explore the book of Hebrews, this book deals with the summation of Christ, his sacrifice, and his wonderful gift given to all of us. The central idea of this book was written to Jewish Christians. Now, if you read through the entire text, you will get a flavor and a sense that the writer is speaking to Jews throughout the land. There's a difficulty with them. There's some concern about their coming back to Christ and who Christ is, the focal point of circumcision, who was the high priest, returning to their old former ways, and the challenges. We would expect that there are some difficulties of conversation, whether they should adopt a new way, stay the way they were, expect who Christ is. Because Jesus has come into the scene, his life came to an end, and there's the concern about how all things flow and prosper. The writer brings that to a head in chapter 10. And even though there's more information, we're going to explore a little bit about this whole idea. The text I want to provide for you today is one single perfect offering. We talk a lot about salvation in the church. We talk about all that has to be done. But I want to hinge on this because we often lose sight of this about the one single perfect gift. If you will, stand with me as we sing our singing, as we read. You can sing this text if you want. I got singing on my mind. But if you will turn to Hebrews chapter 10, we're going to begin at verse 11. A little bit of a lengthy text, and if you need to sit down during the process, I'm okay. Just enjoy the text, read with us. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifice, which can never take away sins. But when the priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First, he says, "This is the covenant I will make with them after that time," says the Lord. "I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds." Then he adds, "Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more." Where these have been forgiven, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened up for us through the curtain, that is, his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day of God, and a blessing to the reader of this word. You can be seated. First part of Hebrews chapter 10, the author highlights the effectiveness of the offering of Jesus. He returns again to this idea of the offering of Jesus and the offering of the Levitical priest. Though he never explicitly says anything like, here's a list of reasons why the offering of Jesus is superior, he points to the aspects of, number one, Christ is perfect. Number two, Christ was willing. And number three, Christ offered himself. Though they are not specifically mentioned or explicitly mentioned, the effectiveness of Christ's offering is a huge benefit in what the Scripture has. The author continues to remind us of the Levitical system. The priests made daily sacrifices. They stood at the altar. And all the while, those offerings could not take away sins. It's a real smack in the face of the history of the Levitical priests. The offering by Jesus is effective and as a result can never be offered again. And now he waits for his enemies to be put in subjection. So I have to ask you, as we look at the text, does it really matter that Christ gave his life once and for all times?
Oh, I caught you off guard, didn't I?
So let me ask you again. Does it really matter that Christ gave his life once and for all times?
Yes.
It does? I'm not so sure all of you are responding with an affirmative. And the reason I ask you that is because everything that we talk about today hinges on that very fact. Does it make a difference? And if it in fact makes a difference, then we should celebrate what the writer has for us in the Scripture. Hebrews 10:14 reiterates the fact that the offering of Jesus was once for all. Hear that language. It doesn't say once for all times, once for everyone. He said once for all. But adds in detail that the offering accomplishes. It's perfected for all times those who are being sanctified. Now, understand, the text being sanctified says to you and I that we're being set apart by the work of God. This is what the Church of God calls an effective second working of God's hand in our lives. When we accept Jesus Christ and we recognize the offering of what he did once for all, the next phase for you and I is this sanctification, this setting apart for the work of God. We believe in that in the Church of God. We believe that God begins a work in you and he will carry it on until completion. And the Scriptures makes it very clear that God wants to sanctify us. And you'll hear this language in here that the Hebrew writer tucks in there. That they're being sanctified. They're being set apart. And originally, according to the Old Covenant, that sanctification was done through the sprinkling. The pouring out of water. And whether you believe it's sprinkled or fully immersion, you're using water, and it makes a difference on the effectual working of what we're showing the world around us. Now, some are fully immersed, and some are fully sprinkled. The fact is, it's not about the water. It's about what God has already done in your life. And I know what the Church of God believes, but the point to be reminded is, when we're sanctified, we are set apart for the work of God. And whether God has sprinkled you, or whether God has fully immersed you, you are set apart for the work of God. God has anointed your life and set you. Well, unfortunately, some of us think, we think, or some think, that if we do the same thing over and over again, it produces a different result. Is that true? We've heard it called insanity. Have you not? Insanity says that I do the same thing and I expect a different result. So here you go. Repeated actions equals repeated results. Do you believe that? The priests in the Old Testament were told, repeated their actions. They would go into the Holy of Holies. They would take a calf, a pigeon, a lamb, a one-year-old, and they would slaughter that. And they would make sacrifices for the sins of the people. The problem is that many of those that they made repeated sacrifices, repeated the same actions, and went back to the priest over and over again. They expected that according to the covenantal law, and according to the Old Testament, or the First Testament, that they must repeat those actions yearly or daily or however necessary to remove the sins of their lives. The problem is, there was no effectual change in their life. Now you might say, how do you know that? Well, why would they go back and repeat the same sacrifices over and over again? Why would it seem obvious that there was necessary, when you read the scriptures, over throughout the entire Old Testament, you see the children of Israel, and many of them repeated these steps. They would have this coming of Christ, the coming of God. They would fall away. They would repent and return. Now, I'm not saying that we're not in a phase where we don't have to repent of the sin in our life, but we don't have to, at this point in time, re-sacrifice Christ. The scripture makes it very clear here that it was done once for all, and it doesn't have to be repeated. Matthew makes it very clear in chapter 6, when he's talking to people on the Sermon on the Mount, he said, be careful. Do not practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with the trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and the streets to be honored by others. Hear what Jesus is telling them. You're going to give, give. Give from your heart. I don't need to announce it to the multitudes. Hey, I put my tithes in the offering plate in the back. We used to pass the plate around here, and we used to do it, and there was always this angst from people over the years about the offering plate. And there was always this eye looking to the right or left of you to see who put money in the plate. Now you might say you don't do that, but there were those over the years who would. Now, because of COVID, we did it in the back, and it's changed a little bit, but that's the way it is. And it's just easier for us. There's no hesitation, and we started that. We've just let it be. We have the online giving now. Many of you don't even know who give online. I do, because I have to process the PayPal receipt. But he says, when you do that and you give, don't announce it with trumpets or hypocrites. He said, truly I tell you, you have received your full reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Now I want to pause for a second. In the scriptures, in the temple, during the New Testament times, there was a box inside the temple. Okay, I want to describe for you, when they gave in the temple, when they say, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, folks, that comes from the fact that people used to put their offering inside of a box. Your left hand doesn't know what your right hand is doing, but what happened in those days is Jesus knew that there were some who would put their offering in, and they would take out more from the offering than what they put in. And Jesus knew that in the scriptures. That's why he's telling them, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. That's where that came from. Because they would put the offering inside of a box, and you could not see it. But there were those who would put an offering in and would take out more than what they put in. And he said, then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Hence, Jesus understands that. And he said, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues. Tell you, truly I tell you, they have no reward in full, but when you pray, go into your father's closet. He said, when you pray, don't keep on babbling like the pagans do. What Jesus is trying to tell them is that the Pharisees and Sadducees repeated it over and over again. Why did they do that? Well, he's stressing prayer to them and about the things of the law and the covenant, because the Pharisees and teachers of the law were expected to do certain things. There was this obligation that they were supposed to be in their phylacteries. They were supposed to be all dressed. They were the presentation of the gospel, and they were expected certain things. And they felt that pressure. Their humanness came out and said, well, I better do something. And they wanted a true religion, but it was far from their understanding, because the dress only filled the externals, but there was empty space inside. They were like walking zombies, for lack of a better term. They were people who were supposed to be people of God that had externals but nothing inside. It's like some has threatened to say to me, I have empty space between my ears. You can laugh, it's okay. But what the Bible tells us is that repeated actions equals repeated results. Even in the scriptures, we hear proverbs, stories like King Belshazzar, demonstrates how the repeated actions. Proverbs says that as a dog returns to its excretion, so a fool repeats his folly, in Proverbs 26:11. The Bible warns that persistently engaging in wrong actions can lead to negative consequences, including a loss of favor, destruction, and separation from God. Now you might say, well, if Christ died once for all, how does that happen? Well, while the Bible acknowledges that people make mistakes, it emphasizes the idea of forgiveness and turning away from certain things. I was reading this past week, people often repeat the same mistakes because of ingrained mental patterns, cognitive shortcuts, heuristics, where the brain defaults to a familiar decision-making pathway. Even if they lead to errors in the past, they're often influenced by factors like confirmation of a bias, ego's tendency to familiarize yourself, mistakes that you've made in the past, and ruts that you have in life that are hard to break. In other words, change is hard and requires action to break the cycle. You might say, well, how is that true? Well, think about it. History says that if we follow in the footsteps of history, we're doomed to repeat its mistakes. Change is not easy for us. Look at where you're sitting today. How many of you are sitting in exactly the same seat you sat in for all the years coming to Bethany? And the truth of the matter is, if I ask you to move and sit somewhere else, you're like, no, I'm not moving. And I bet you most of you parked in the similar parking spot. Bet you when you come on Wednesday night, you sit in the same place in the back. We have our designated seats, do we not? Come on. Now, it's ingrained in us. You don't think about it. There's no way you step into the back and grab your donut, sit down and have your coffee. And when you sit and have your coffee, where do you sit? Same spots. Interesting. And if I was to come up to you and say, no, you're going to do a rotating chairs this morning. No way, Pastor, I'm not moving. Are you kidding me? You want me to? But I'm saying that's how it goes. Repeated actions. It's not that it's wrong. Please don't take that I'm telling you where you're sitting is wrong. What I'm saying is we have habits. We do certain things certain ways. If you're like me at OCD, you put everything in the same place. When you look at my stand here, everything is in the same place. My coffee's in the same place. Everything's in the same place. I got done this morning, and I had to make sure that I was pretty well equal in my stand up here in front. The distance between the legs are equal. I even turn it so that the front legs are pretty close to parallel. And I'm not kind of... Let's talk about it. You want to talk about ruts? The Bible refers to things that are ingrained in us from creation in the fall. Some of the reasons are enticement of sin, the allure of the world, egos, lack of self-awareness, unresolved issues, a host of things that the Scripture talks about. Okay, you say, well, okay, given all of that repeated actions and repeated results, how do we change from that? Well, here you go. I'm going to give you some answers. To break the cycle, stats say the key to actively identify your patterns, acknowledge your mistakes, learn from them, and develop strategies to avoid repeating them. In other words, if you're doing something the same old way and you take the same path to church, take a different path. If you're sitting in the one seat, recognize your patterns and repeat it and move somewhere else. And if you make a mistake, recognize that mistake and avoid doing it again. Well, some of that is self-reflection and monitor your progress. Oh, wait a minute. That means sometimes we need someone else to help us along the way and say, this probably isn't working so well for your benefit. The Bible says to break the cycle of repeated mistakes says we must offer forgiveness, grace, and the opportunity to learn from it. Proverbs in 24:16 says a righteous man may fall 7 times and rise again. Jesus said, how many times are we supposed to forgive someone? 70 times 7. Ouch. Thus, if I am imperfect in need of a sacrifice, I need to change that reflection. Well, repeated actions doesn't always have to equal repeated results. Then there's one perfect sacrifice we are made holy. Ooh. Take a look again at verses 12 through 14. When the priest had offered for all one time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. When this priest had offered that, since that time he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. Because by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. This passage is full of grace, the grace of God. Through one perfect sacrifice, where the Jews were looking for the blood of goats and animals, the sacrifice on the altar and the Holy of Holies, our writer indicates that this priest, and it's very clear that this priest refers back to our high priest, Jesus Christ. That one person made clear a way to find from the old covenant to the new covenant is Jesus. This section contrasts the old sacrificial system, and it says to us that through one perfect sacrifice, one final sacrifice once and for all, and the whole theology of this Christophany in Hebrews leads to the fact that the theology says to you that it's through Jesus Christ. Now, there is no other way. The Bible makes it very clear, but I want to make sure that we understand there's only one sacrifice made, and that was Jesus Christ. The final sacrifice made was through his blood and perfected on the cross. And through the cross, through his resurrection, through his death, and his life again, we have a covenant that says we can go no longer through the priest, we can go through our mediator. And Hebrews chapter 9 tells us that in verse 15. For this reason, Christ is the mediator of the new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. What it says for you and I is that one perfect sacrifice, you and I are made holy through the blood of Jesus Christ, through his life, through his death, through his resurrection. And now he sits at the right hand of God the Father. He makes intercession for you and for me. This theology is full of forgiveness for everyone. No matter how wicked you are, no matter how your life has been, what Jesus did never has to be repeated again. Now, the truth in this is that this eternal role and the function of Jesus Christ is to all believers. While there are some suggestions that there might be spiritual other ways or other ethics, the Hebrew writer summons to you and I that a life must be spiritually alert, engaged, striving to be holy and perfect. Now, there's where the difficulty comes in. One perfect sacrifice, you and I are made holy. We have difficulty with that fact. How am I made holy? It is through that sanctifying power, but there's a step that must be followed. And that step simply says that we have to recognize Romans chapter 10. We must confess with our mouth and believe in our hearts that Jesus Christ is Lord. We must recognize 1 John 1:9. Okay? We must confess our sins, and he is faithful and just enough to forgive us. We all must also recognize in Romans that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And we must also recognize in John chapter 3 that we must be born again. Unless we have followed those steps, this one perfect sacrifice has no meaning to us. It basically has no validity. It is the truth of the fact that whether Jesus died and rose again only has bearing in my life if I give it him my life. Simply put, Scripture makes it very clear. These actions should draw us together. You know one of the difficulties with this whole text is? It has the tendency to separate us as people. because we can't all the way to this agree. Some would say that I can't believe that in some religions they would say, how is it that Jesus gave his only son to die for us? There are some who would say, well, he's not really the son of God. There would be others who say, well, there's multitudes of ways to get to heaven. There's multitudes of gods out there. You don't need to go to church. There's no reason to do that. And what it does, instead of bringing us together, we want to debate the ways to get to heaven. We want to debate the ways of salvation. We want to debate the ways to get to who Jesus is. That's not what we're called to do. We're called to share the Word of God and to celebrate what the Scripture says. There's no debate about it. You can debate it all you want. I'm going to hand it out to you, and I'm going to share with you that he said this is what happens. That when the priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. I didn't make that up. I didn't write it. That's what it says. You tell me where it's different. And the sense of it is, we have to come to terms and say, this is what the Scripture says. You deal with it on your levels. Final section is about coming together. We are called to come together. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 18 through 25 is a call to a new form of worshiping God. One in which faith in Jesus allows the believers to have access to God without waiting for a priest. I don't have to wait for a high priest. Whatever the other religions want to tell you, this scripture says, I have a new high priest, and it's Jesus Christ. I'm not debating what others would want to tell you. The superiority of Jesus' sacrifice opened a new door for believers to have obedience in both death and resurrection as the Messiah. In verse 21, the preacher alludes to Jesus' superiority over Moses. The theological depth of the language is drawing near, which signifies and alludes to the fact that we must enter a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Now, we may not understand all the language of Hebrew, but it says whole facts, faithful and harmony. These words point to the presence that there is still evil in the world around us. Ooh. There's enough evil in the world that it wants to destroy you from the love of God. It's still prevalent. It exists today. We're told as the Hebrew writers that we must remain faithful as Jesus did in his ministry. It says he is the faithful one. As a model of faith, we must exhort each other to emulate the ideals of Christ. We must go through trials, tribulations, and persecution, but we are prompted to have confidence to enter the holy place. Now, we're not going into the Old Testament covenant. We're not going to the Holy of Holies. Our holy place is with Jesus. And if he lives and reigns in me, I don't need the other temple. I have a new living way, which should and unite us in the bonds of love. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father who is over all and in all. Having our hearts sprinkled, that is that sanctification that takes us from the Old Testament covenant and brings us to this new one, and we are sprinkled to be washed and clean. Now, the frank relationship spills over in our relationship with others. One single perfect offering. The exhortation comes in the opportunity to ask that we might fellowship together. Many of the issues can be traced to our failures in communication, unresolved conflicts, guilt and fear, isolation, a sense of playing a role, caring, communication, urgency, unnecessary. This whole idea of the world around us, that we want to be anchored in Christ, but I want to have a little bit of the world to go with it. Unfortunately, Scripture says we must be anchored in God's grace, strengthened through fellowship in the community, to be confident in the face of opposition. The courage was based in a future hope, abiding in the dwelling place, and their confidence. An intimate and frank relationship with God, openness to one another, a public witness of what God is doing in my life. That is what we call baptism. It is an outward expression of the inward faith. Sanctification is the setting apart for the work of God. It is these key things, not only a relationship with Him, but sanctifying Him through the baptism, that we are set apart and we are unified as a body of Christ. The tough challenge for us. We have to come together and celebrate that. You know, I spoke yesterday at the funeral in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. Paul talked to Timothy and he said that I want to give thanks for what God is doing in your life. He said, through the laying on of hands, God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and of love and of sound mind. You know how we get that? It is through the union of each other. It is through the encouragement of each other. It is through the prayer. It is through the hugs. It is through the celebration that we can have confidence to enter the holy presence of God with boldness and confidence that we are grounded in Christ, dealing with the power once for all that Christ did what we could not do ourselves. These actions